We do come now to God's Word this morning. We're continuing forward in our series in Luke's Gospel this morning. This morning we are in Luke chapter 18, and we'll read together verses 1 through 8 together. Let's give our attention now to the reading of God's Word. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Let me pray. Father, I pray now for the preaching of your word. Lord, we come before your word needful. We come weak, we come weary. Lord, we come in the darkness and we ask for you to shine on us with the light of your word, that you would pour out to us the living water of your Spirit, that he would give us the hearts to receive your word, to celebrate the teaching of your word, that you would fix our eyes on Christ. Would you speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had the experience of being left waiting? Maybe you were scheduled to meet a friend or a loved one for lunch. Or maybe you were waiting on somebody to pick you up for a date. And the arranged time comes and goes, and they have not showed up. A few more minutes pass, and they still have not come. 30 minutes pass, and they're still not there. You start to feel more and more anxious and frustrated. Eventually, enough time passes, you begin to give up hope. You realize that they're not coming at all, that you have been left waiting. It's a difficult feeling, isn't it? It almost feels as if you've been abandoned, that you have been let down by somebody that you trusted, let down by somebody that you loved. Being left waiting can be an incredibly uncomfortable experience. And so it might surprise you to find out that as we approach this Advent season together as the people of God, that this very experience is so central to our celebration of our Savior's birth. That very word, Advent, it means to come. Advent is the time of year that we recognize that we are a waiting people. A people who celebrate the blessed reality that our Savior has come, even as we await the reality that He will come again. The people of God have always been a waiting people, a people who wait in faithful hope in the promises of God. And yes, oftentimes this experience is painful. Waiting on the Lord is painful. Sometimes we can begin even to lose hope. Sometimes we can begin to lose heart. We wonder to ourselves, where is he? What has become of his promise? Is he even coming at all? And how do we live in this tension as the people of God? How do we live in this tension. What hope does the message of Christ and His advent offer to us as we wait? Well, that's what we find in our passage from God's Word this morning. We're beginning kind of an Advent mini-series together in the first four sections of Luke 18. We find in here four different themes from these four different passages that characterize our celebration of Christ's birth. Each one of these themes is represented by the words of four different popular Advent hymns, hymns that we'll sing together in each of the coming weeks. And this morning, from the beginning of Luke 18, we will look to the theme of waiting. Under the title, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus, we'll seek to answer the question together, how does the good news of Christ and His advent impact the way that we wait as His people? How does the good news of Christ and His advent impact the way that we wait as the people of God? And that's what we find as we look together at this parable of the persistent widow. In our passage, we will find our temptation as we wait, our task as we wait, and our trust as we wait. Our temptation, our task, and finally our trust. But first, our temptation. Let's look back at verse 1 together. It says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." As Christ looks out at His disciples, those following Him, He knows that He's calling them to a difficult task, a difficult lifestyle, a life that will be characterized by waiting on the promises of God. In fact, this way of life will be so difficult that His disciples will face a recurring temptation. A temptation that Luke, the author, gives us at the beginning. A temptation that Christ clearly wants to prepare His disciples for by way of a parable. And what is that temptation? Well, verse 1 tells us, in fact, verse 1 gives us both our task and our temptation as we wait as the people of God. We read it again. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray," that's the task, and we'll get there, "and not lose heart," that's the temptation. You see, as we live as a waiting people, our great temptation is to give up, to become discouraged, to lose heart. Christ here is describing the type of feeling that you may have had when you've been left waiting for someone that you care about. Eventually, you begin to lose heart. You begin to give up. You resign yourself to the reality that your friend or your loved one is not coming, that they have broken their promise, that they are not coming like you were expecting them to. You waited, and you waited, and now it's time to give up. It's time for you to move on with your life. And ever the people of God have faced this temptation as they have waited on the promise of God. Abraham waited decades for the birth of his promised son, Isaac. The children of Abraham waited for 400 years in the slavery of Egypt. For 400 years, they waited for God to redeem them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Those same Israelites waited in the wilderness for 40 years before they could enter the promised land. Their descendants waited 70 years under the Babylonian captivity. And their descendants, when they'd finally been brought back from captivity, from exile, they waited for 400 years in silence. Those prophets who had prophesied of the Messiah, the King who was going to come, the Savior, those prophets had fallen silent. Where was the promised one? Where was the Savior? Where is the child who was to be born in Bethlehem? That was the temptation for the people of God then, and it's the temptation for the people of God now. To lose heart as we wait. And something in this parable that we're about to read is supposed to help us with this. Something here is supposed to help us face that temptation. What is it? Well, let's look at it together. Christ goes on to tell this hypothetical story, beginning in verse 2. He says, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" Jesus frames the story this way because he knows that at times this is how his disciples are going to feel. This is how his followers are going to feel. They'll be tempted to feel as if they are living under the thumb of an unjust judge. And they are crying out to him as a poor and oppressed widow, crying out to him for justice. And he just doesn't seem to be listening. He doesn't seem to be answering. And we are tempted to feel this way because we live in a sinful, broken world, where we experience what seems to be the injustices of life. We experience the reality that this world is not the way that it's supposed to be, that our lives oftentimes are not the way that they're supposed to be, and we cry out to God for justice. We cry out to Him, asking for Him to make things right. And yet we wait. And we wait. Maybe you're feeling that way even this morning. Even at Christmas time, or at this time of year, oftentimes you're uniquely reminded of the brokenness in your family, the distance between yourself and those that you love. You remember that perhaps you won't get to see your grandkids this year. You feel that the pain of loneliness as you look at those empty seats at the dinner table that used to be full. You feel the sense of grief and loss at loved ones who have died or who are just absent. You want to celebrate and be happy, but your body's breaking down under illness and injury. Everyone else is acting like they're full of Christmas joy and Christmas cheer, but you feel like you're dying inside. And nobody knows. You feel perhaps all of this and more, and your heart begins to cry out, "How long, O Lord? Where is your promise? When will you come back and make things right? Give me justice. Do you even hear me?" Maybe you're tempted to give up. Maybe you're tempted to lose heart as you wait upon the Lord. That's our temptation, and we're not going to resolve that tension yet. We will, but that's our temptation. Now, what is our task? As our passage says, Christ told this parable so that we would not lose heart. And so what are we supposed to do instead of giving up? What are we supposed to do? Read again with me verse 1. "He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." That's our task as we wait. We are to persist in prayer. To persist in prayer. Prayer isn't often a topic that we think about when it comes to Christmas time, is it? It's not often a topic that we associate with Advent, but really we should. Think back to Luke chapter 1. This gospel began with the story of Zechariah the priest, who along with all of Israel had waited 400 long years in silence, waiting on a word from the Lord, waiting for the promised Messiah. All of Israel was waiting for this child to be born in Bethlehem. All of Israel was waiting for this child, and Zechariah was waiting for his child. He and his wife Elizabeth were barren, advanced in years. They'd waited so long for the promised Messiah. They'd waited so long for their son, John, who would prepare the way for the Messiah. No doubt they were tempted to lose heart. And where do we find Zechariah in Luke 1? In the temple of the Lord, in prayer, offering up the incense for the people, symbolizing their prayer, which would rise up to God. And in his own heart, offering a prayer to the Lord as well. And what was the very first line of dialogue that we hear in this gospel from the mouth of the angel? Luke 1:13. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. You see, friends, the good news of Advent, the good news of the birth of Christ, this good news of great joy, which is for all people, this good news of Christ is the ultimate testimony to the fact that God hears the prayers of his people, that he does not leave them in their waiting. And so even as we are a waiting people, we are to be a prayerful people. A people who, as our text says, always pray and do not lose heart. You see, prayer is the opposite of losing heart. Our great temptation as we endure the pain of waiting in this life, waiting for things to be made right, waiting for the return of Christ, our great temptation is to turn inwards on ourselves, to turn inward, to lose heart, to give up hope, to coldly resign ourselves to our fate, to act as if God does not hear us, to begin maybe to live in cold independence from God. Prayer, on the other hand, is an act of faith. It's an act of dependence. It's the opposite reaction. Instead of turning inwards and giving up, prayer turns our heart outward in faith towards a God who's promised to hear our prayers and to answer them in accordance with his will. And yes, this prayer is an act of faith, but it's also an act of persistence. It's an act of endurance. We are to be always praying. We must continue to pray. But not for the reason that you might expect. Because what you might be tempted to hear right now is that the answer to the pain and suffering that you experience as you wait, that the answer is just pray more. Just pray more. Pray harder. Pray longer. And in your heart, you're saying right now, "I've tried that, Pastor. I've tried praying more. I've prayed for decades for this. I've prayed for so long for my lost family member. I've prayed so long for my children, for my grandchildren, for my parents. I've prayed so long for healing. Are you telling me the answer is just to pray more?" Let's keep reading this parable together and see if we can find the answer. Look again with me at verse 3. It says, "There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" Now, there's a way to read this and think, it sure seems like what Jesus is saying here is that in the pain of my waiting, I need to be just like this persistent widow and pray more. And maybe if I bother God enough, if I beat God down enough with my continual, persistent prayers, finally He will hear me. Finally He will answer me. But beloved, what you need to see is that this parable is not told by way of comparison. It's told by way of contrast. This parable is not about comparing you to a persistent widow and comparing God to an unjust judge. It's not a parable of comparison, it's a parable of contrast. And in this contrast, we find the answer we've been looking for. We find solid ground to stand on as we wait as the people of God. We find our trust. We've seen our temptation, we've seen our task, and finally we'll see our trust as we wait. Look back at verse 6 with me. And this is where this passage comes together. This is where Jesus gets to the point. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily." This is the contrast, beloved. And this is the point of the parable. God is not an unjust judge. And you are not some poor, inconvenient beggar that has to bother Him into hearing you. God is your Father in heaven. If you are in Christ, that is who God is to you. He is your Father in heaven, perfectly righteous, perfectly just, perfectly good, and you are His elect. Not some poor, inconvenient widow. You are His elect, His chosen, precious people who He loves with an everlasting love, and He has promised to hear. He has promised to give justice to. And His promises are good. His promises are sure. You can trust in His promises because they are rooted in who He is, His unchangeable character. You see, this is a parable of contrast from the lesser to the greater. If an unjust judge, who fears neither God nor man, can be bothered into hearing and answering somebody who He doesn't care about at all, how much more then will a perfectly righteous, perfectly good God hear and answer you, His beloved children, His precious elect, His chosen people? You see, this is why we ought always to pray and not lose heart. We don't pray because of the sufficiency of our prayers. We pray because of the sufficiency of God's promise. Our trust is not in ourselves. Our trust is not in the sufficiency of our prayers, but in the sufficiency of God's promise. Our trust is in the nature and character of Almighty God, who is our just and our perfect judge. You see, beloved, it is God who is the object of our trust. He is the object of our trust. His goodness, His righteousness, His love, His mercy, His faithfulness, He is the object of our trust. And because then such a God calls us to pray and promises to hear us and answer our prayers in accordance with His will, because of this, We persist in prayer. Because of this, we don't lose heart. You see, we don't trust because we pray. We don't place our hope in the fact that if we just bother God enough, if we just pray long enough or hard enough, that finally He'll give up and hear us. No, we don't trust because we pray. We pray because we trust. We pray because we trust in a God who promises to hear us and answer us. But you say in your heart, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? What proof is there of these things? Because I'm still bearing up under the heavy weight, under the pain of waiting. What proof is there for us today? Beloved, that's the good news that we come to celebrate this Advent season. Not only has God not left us waiting, God Himself has come to us to save us from our sins. He's given to us His very Son, the substance of His promises. In Christ, God has brought justice to this world. Jesus Christ in His life, death, and resurrection has destroyed the power of sin and darkness, and one day, very soon, He's coming back to finish the job. He will perfectly renew all things when He comes again. He will set all things right. That is the assurance that God has given to us in His Son. That is our trust. As Paul says in Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Do you want proof that God is for you and not against you? Look to Jesus. You want proof that God loves you? Look to Jesus. You want proof that God hears the prayers of His people? Look to Jesus. You want proof that God keeps His promises to His people? Look to Jesus. If you want proof that God has not left us in our waiting as His people, look to Jesus. Beloved, in Christ, God has said to you what He said to Zechariah. Do not fear, your prayer has been heard, and your prayer has been answered. You see, the assurance that you've been looking for all your life, that solid ground to stand on, peace with God, forgiveness, new birth, a hope, a future, everlasting life, all of this is yours by faith in Christ, even as you wait. Friends, Christ has come. We celebrate it this day. And Christ is coming. He will not delay long. And that is our trust. And so let us persist in prayer and not lose heart, so that when the Son of Man comes, He would find such faith in us. And let us pray together the song that we're about to sing, O come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Amen. Let us pray together. O come, thou long-expected Jesus. Lord, we eagerly await the second coming of your Son. Even as we wait, Lord, we bear up underneath the hardship of this life, the hardship comes from living in this sin-sick world. And so, Father, we are thankful that we don't just have a worldly hope. We don't just have a temporary hope that only goes as far as our eyes can see, that we have an eternal hope, an unshakable trust because of Christ, your Son, our Savior. Lord, even as we wait, fix our hearts on Christ. Make us a prayerful people. Keep us from losing heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.